future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. With so much happening over the weekend, the only way we can get down to business is going through the levels. So Bitcoin's currently trading at $6,654, up 5.5% in the last 24 hours. We currently have Ethereum at $209, up 5%. Ripple at 44 cents, that's up 6%. EOS currently trading at $5.45, that's up 4%. And we also have Tether trading at 95 cents, down 3% in the last 24 hours. So before we get into everything, the market cap is currently $212 billion, Bitcoin's dominance being 54.3% of that. I want to give a special shout out to Aura, which is currently trading at 2.5 cents, and that's up 25% in the last 24 hours. So with that in mind, let's find out what's been moving the market. What had this aggressive push over the weekend? What is the catalyst behind it? What people are thinking? And most importantly, what's going on? So let's get down to business. Binance pauses Tether withdrawals after disavowing delist rumor. So crypto exchange Binance, the world's largest by volume, suspended withdrawals of the Tether USDT stablecoin Monday morning during what it called a period of heightened activity. Withdrawal functionality has since been returned, according to Binance's website, which previously stated wallet maintenance withdrawal suspended on the page for USD Tether. A customer service administrator on the platform's language Telegram channel had previously said that the suspension was due to USD Tether network congestion. In another message, an administrator in the channel said earlier Monday that the maintenance is due to network congestion. Expected date and time cannot be provided. We are fixing it as soon as possible. The outage was the second to occur on Binance Monday. The exchange suspended USD Tether withdrawals earlier in the day, though customers were able to briefly resume withdrawals around 11:33 UTC. Roughly 15 minutes later, withdrawals were suspended again. So Binance had earlier disavowed rumors that it was moving to delist USD Tether, and founder and CEO Changcheng Zhao calling it a single Photoshop fake announcement in a tweet Monday. When reached out for comment, Zhao told CoinDesk, "I have no comment on that for now. The company will let the public know of the new developments once concluded." As previously reported by media outlets, USD Tether's price sank to an 18-month low at 92.5 cents Monday morning. The loss of its dollar peg would seem to contradict a long existing statement on Tether's website, which states that the USD Tether is always equivalent to one US dollar. Prior to the suspension, Binance's Bitcoin USDT trading pair hit a high of $7,680, well above the global average. At the current time, Binance was trading at roughly Bitcoin at roughly $6,520, according to the Bitcoin price index. Notably, Binance is the largest holder of USD Tether tokens, with more than 768.5 million in its reserves, according to a wallet rich list posted to Tether.to. Tether, the company behind the stablecoin, comes in second with 486.7 million tokens. So, Binance suspended withdrawal of Tether tokens. So a lot of people were assuming that other people would be moving into Bitcoin. We did see some action in Bitcoin. We saw some volume figures increasing on the back of that news. And the same with Bitfinex as well. They had a suspension on Tether trading on their exchange. This all caused people to move out of Tether and into Bitcoin and Ethereum, which really saw a small price move to the upward direction, which was great to see. Green on the board. Everyone was super excited on LinkedIn, Twitter, Telegram. So that's always great to see. But that was the reason behind the move over the weekend. So Sony's now entered into the blockchain space. So Sony's building a digital rights management system on a blockchain. So Japanese electronics giant Sony has developed a new blockchain-based digital rights management system that may see commercial rollout. According to a press release from the firm today, the system will help manage copyright-related information for digital content, citing educational content as a prime use case. The firm states that with content rights management currently largely being laid and carried out manually, the firm states by industry organizations or the creators themselves, it's a new system is designed to make that process more efficient. So using the platform, participants will be able to share and verify information such as date and time of creation and the author's details. It will also automatically verify the rights generation of a piece of written works, the firm adds, digital content such as ebooks, music, video, virtual reality content, and more are said to be supported by the new system, which is based on a similar system developed by a conglomerate previously. Sony says it is now considering the possible commercialization of the system as a service. The Japan-based firm is no stranger to blockchain innovation. Last month, research by IPR Daily, a media outlet specializing in intellectual property, showed that Sony is in the top 30 companies for blockchain-related patents, having filed at least 20 applications. Notably, some of those point towards the direction of Sony has taken with the system announced today. So as media sources reported back in April, one of the patents filed of the US Patent and Trademark Office describes a concept that stores digital rights data using blockchain. The company has also filed for inventions, including a system that's going to be able to authenticate user data and manage education data as well. So following on from a story we did last week about hacking altcoins, well, not necessarily altcoins, but some blockchains out there being a spectator sport, we had new news over the weekend. Hacker livestreams 51% attack on Bitcoin private. So on October 3rd, ethical hacker Geo Cold followed through on his promise to 51% attack an altcoin. He eventually settled on Bitcoin private BTCP and quickly gained majority hash rate control. So let's find out a little bit more about this. So basically, Geo Cold promised he would 51% attack an altcoin to prove how easy it was, and he did. But the attempt did not run as smoothly as he might have hoped. Over 750 viewers were tuned in, and the likes of Jason Palmer live tweeting the spectacle when Twitch suddenly pulled the plug. Cam whores and other performance artists can broadcast their art to the masses. It would appear, but 51% altcoins is a step too far. One of the unexpected lessons derived from GeoCode's session was the dangers of censorship on an internet when a report button is never more than a few pixels away. So despite the ethical hacker having no intention of attempting to double spend coins, such as by depositing them into an exchange wallet and swapping them for Bitcoin, the streaming provider pulled the plug, presumably being in response to members of the Bitcoin private community reporting his channel. Anyone work for streaming platforms that can ensure report spamming doesn't work for my stream? He asked Twitter, if I find such a solution, I'll stream again. If not, I might do a surprise stream. If not, I'll post just a video. So when GeoCode returned on stream.me half an hour later, he lasted a little over 15 minutes before the same thing happened. Thankfully, by the time he had done enough to demonstrate his attack in action, when the second stream died, GeoCode had majority hash rate and was merely mining BTC blocks. BTCP blocks, just want to confirm, they're not Bitcoin, Bitcoin private. GeoCode, who incorporated the mischief maker into his Twitter name in response to last week's post that was reported on by media sources, he's back at it, man. He's back at it again. Had intended to do a 51% attack on Einsteinium EMC2. When the time came to perform his feat on Saturday, October 13th, however, he discovered that its hash rate had soared 15-fold to 1.4 THS. Given a week's notice, the EMC2 community had thwarted the attack by acquiring a large amount of hash power, so he couldn't himself. GeoCold had anticipated this and swiftly moved on to one of its alternative alts he had lined up as part of the contingency plan. Bitcoin Private was selected for the Begin hacker, connected to a BTCP mining pool using a couple of $100 worth of rented hash power he'd purchased from NineHash with Bitcoin. He then went on to attack the network. Shortly after finding his first block, however, GeoCold came unstuck as a member of the Bitcoin private community fought back. One of the possible reasons behind this is he'd accidentally leaked his IP address while live streaming. An HTTP flood to the web UI of Geocore's mining pool disabled the interface, but the real damage was caused by Twitch swinging the ban hammer, promoting a move to a different streamer. At the second attempt, Geocore dominated BTCP's hash rate, producing a steady 10 MSOLs versus the rest of the network's 6. He soon began to create the longest chain of blocks and, had he persisted, could have forked the BTCP chain in the event. The second stream died, so Geocore elected to wind things down and save some tricks for the next time. The evening started as an exercise on the ease of controlling low hash rate proof of work chains or coins, and ended as a demonstration of the need for censorship-resistant platforms. So it's interesting that, I mean, that's pretty crazy that all of these things are that easily hackable, especially proof of work coins and chains. But then again, for someone that wants to basically show off the fact that it's so easy, he's going to get banned as quickly as he did, which made his life very hard and actually promoted what he did, but promoted it to the community who ended up stopping that. But all in all, I mean, it's pretty scary stuff if you're holding lots of proof of work coins out there. I think you need to take a look at your holdings. But I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this guy has publicly said that he's not a talented developer or he's not a talented programmer, but with ease on a simple computer has been able to have the power to not only fork a proof of work network, but also create new coins, take over, double spend. I mean, this guy can really mess it up, which is crazy to think about, and how easily this guy did it. And he shows his face on the live stream as well, which is absolutely bizarre. And he looks about 12 years old, which is even more scary. On a side point, I read a research note today that I wanted to share with you guys, is that 1 in 5 new hedge funds in 2018 is a crypto fund. 1 in 5, which is 20% of all funds that are now being incorporated and set up, are looking solely at crypto. They're looking at trading it, they're looking at buying it, they're looking at holding it, they're looking at selling it, whatever it may be. They are getting into the space. This is extremely positive. Now, whether these funds are getting set up and actually have capital to deploy is a different question. Whether they're going back into the market to then raise money, wouldn't really give that figure a lot of power. But listen, I mean, that's a great figure to have. 20% of all funds that are now being set up are focused on crypto. That's great news. So the projected figures for this year are 120 crypto funds that are going to be set up for year 2018. That's a big number. I think traditional funds, I think there's going to be 596 that are not going to be focused on crypto. So, you know, we're projecting pretty decent numbers then. It's going to be exciting to see what these funds do, what their strategy is, who they get in, the level of quality of staff they bring on as well. So it's exciting times for all the crypto community, and interested in seeing how they execute and how they get into the market and how, or if they build community, most importantly. So with that in mind, let's wrap things up. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention as always. We really, really appreciate it. And if you enjoyed today's show, feel free to leave a nice comment or a nice review or give us a nice rating. We'd really appreciate that. And of course, feel free to join our communities. We want everyone to join the SVK crypto community. Everyone is welcome. The best way to do that is on Telegram. Type in SVK crowd. If you type that in, you will find us. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. And if you have a project that you want to bring to our attention, feel free to email myself, cstory, cstory, at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @svk_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.